it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You and Paul Radke never like switched it up, you know, a little game of Stratomatic tag, a little back and forth.
No, we tagged home plate. We tagged bases when we played Stratomatic.
Whoa, I thought that was going somewhere else.
And baby!
You made it to home with Paul Radke?
That's right. Exactly.
This is the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
Christopher, you start with your highlight dinner, and I'll make fun of you. What was that exactly?
What do you mean?
What was happening? I saw something on social media, the longest-ass table. There were like 30 people at a long table.
And me sitting like I was the head of the family?
Yes.
You're the godfather. You in the godfather's seat.
Yeah, I was standing.
Right. What was that?
Did you sit everyone down by lowering your hands?
No. I mean, if being truthful, like they were like, I had a jacket and it was off because we were eating. And they were like, oh, dude, you got to put the jacket on and stand like a family. Like, you know, I did that just because, like, you know, we were all sitting eating and I stood up just to be, you know, that guy. But yeah, we had a team dinner. It was everybody on the team, all six players, and they had a chance to bring plus ones.
Wow.
And Manny brought his wife and couldn't get a babysitter, so also brought his two kids.
Wow. And yet you didn't bring Graceland.
That's true. You know, but Manny's like, you know, the team captain, the grizzled vet.
Okay.
So, you know, Manny can get away with that. Even the owner couldn't get away with it, but Manny can.
All right.
But it was a fun dinner. Also, our VP of Highlight Operations, Mike Fuentes, was there. And our VP of Scouting, Chris Whittingham.
Oh, wow.
Along with Mike and I.
Okay.
But yes, yeah, so like at the very end of the dinner, you know, Mike, Ryan, and I delegated the speech to our VP of Highlight Operations, Mike Fuentes. Okay. So he was standing up, just giving a nice speech. And, you know, we had been talking previous in the dinner about how the Wall Warriors have really, you know, improve their roster. So I just kind of, you know, half jokingly with things we had been talking about earlier in the dinner, I just, you know, saw people videotaping. So I kind of interrupted the end of his speech with a, the Wall Warriors. The Wall Warriors.
Okay.
That's hard for you to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a few drinks in, I think. So the inventor of Willinet, the guy who almost gave his life at the highlight fronton, I guess the invitation to this dinner was lost in the mail.
Oh, wow. You wanted to get invited. Okay.
I'm not saying I did.
Dad, do you know that we went to Texas Day Brazil in Dadeland, which is the first time I've ever been down there, and it is far down in my
head. Yeah, I wouldn't have done that. Believe me. I just went to talk to Ron McGill about the book. And Zoo Miami is like, I feel like I'm going to a racetrack. I'm going to cover a NASCAR race at Homestead. I mean, that's a hike down there. So, yeah, I don't want to go to Dayland. But the invitation would have been nice. So, who picked up the dinner?
It was, you know, don't worry about it.
A combined effort? Was it a combined effort?
It was, you know, Mike Ryan, me, Whittingham. We all chipped in.
Okay. All right, so Meadowlark picked it up.
I mean, I don't know if it will eventually get covered, but it, you know, the way it works is you pay for stuff and then you send in the receipt.
Okay.
I'm hoping honestly for how much it was that we might do something like that. No, I'm kidding. It was nice.
Right.
It was nice.
No, you're not.
I am kidding. It's fine.
Yeah.
But it was a really, honestly, we did it to like, you know, kind of build some team, you know, camaraderie,
right,
and, you
okay.
know, boost morale. And we all went back to Mike's place after, had a few drinks, and, you know, it was fun.
And who was the drunkest cyclone?
You know, based off the video where I, you know, say bleep the Wall Warriors, it might be me, but everybody was fine.
Okay. All right. While you were doing that, I got a call from an old friend. We used to be real close. I went to see Billy Joel. What do you think about that? And Kyle, your friend Kyle, who you have season tickets with to the Panthers, right?
Yes.
He was like sitting right next to us. We didn't know it until last night. Your mom and I are at La Bamba, and Kyle buys our entire dinner.
Wow.
I was impressed by that. I mean, he picked up the check for both of us, which means we owe him one. At any rate, Billy Joel.
what a weird aside that is, like, wait, so, and nobody knows Kyle. Like, it's just like, you know.
Wait, so, right. So
well,
stage
I
here,
do that.
You, it seems like something like you could have told me on the phone.
You were sitting beside Kyle at Billy Joel and you didn't know it? You just found out later?
Not beside him, but like, you know, we're in 116 and he's in 114, you know, that type thing. Whereas had we known we were that close.
So he didn't see you at the Billy Joel. You guys just said where you were sitting and he's like, oh, I was sitting near you.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And Billy was, I mean, we've seen him like 10 times. I always expect, you know, aging artists to be terrible. He was great. One of the great shows we've ever seen him do. But at La Bamba, just before Kyle picked up our check, we had a brouhaha. And I wonder if you guys have ever experienced this in a bar or a restaurant. There was one table of three women. They were all shit-faced. People at the bar were complaining. And the manager had to come over. And I'm just wondering, have you guys experienced that live in the wild where somebody was so loud that everybody else is looking around and going, what the hell is going on here?
So you got out of it without actually being the one that complained. So someone else complained.
Right, which is the best.
Well, that proves your point. Because if it was just you, obviously they were annoying other people because they complained too. So
right.
I have never, I mean... I don't think I've seen confrontations. I've been places where there's just somebody obnoxiously talking loud. It's usually Michael, but but yeah,
that's a good point.
Never a real cut. Never like did things almost break into fisticuffs?
Well, there was somebody 5 feet away at the bar who was basically like turning around, and the loud woman got very combative, as you do when you've had a bunch of drink, and so yeah, there became a yelling back and forth. It was awkward.
Was Kyle there?
Yeah, Kyle was trying to, you know, detonate or undetonate the whole situation. Yeah, de-escalate, right. You know, it was fun, though. It was great. And especially it got great when he picked up our bill, which we didn't expect.
Greg, have you ever been that unruly customer that has to be asked politely or not so politely to leave?
Not to my knowledge. Others may recall incidents involving me. I have no idea, but...
if I recall, click.
What?
That's just a line. No, don't worry. People get that. Some people got it.
Okay. Christopher, we're taping this at whatever it is, 8:30, 8 p.m.
I know what you're about to do. You're about to say, oh, the Chiefs are looking good in this game. Joe Burrow's driving. So we got a game. We got a game. It's like we're not going to have the result of the AFC Championship game in this episode. You know, you'll live, audience.
That's right. But I was interested that Levitard Show did a live. What do you call it? A live stream?
Watch along.
A watch along. Okay.
But yes, it is a stream.
Okay, and you happen to pick a really bad game to do
that. Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, that had to be a challenge. Mom was listening to it while I was making gumbo and fried okra. Beautiful dinner. But Mom was listening to you guys, and what is that like? Like, how is that doing that? What do you do during the commercial breaks? Because I wasn't listening.
You're live for. We only took a break during halftime for a few minutes, so we're basically live through the commercials, and it's just us sitting around watching a game. Like,
okay,
there's no pressure where it's like we have. There's dead air time. There's times where we're not talking. We're just kind of sitting around, shooting the shit, watching the football game.
Okay. And there was a lot going on. Did you find it dragged at all, or was it easy to do? Because I've never done that.
Yes, you have. You came in under the influence.
He doesn't remember, Eddie.
Oh, that thing. Yeah.
The Megacast Gregacast. Yeah.
Yeah. I was on medication that night. That's all that was. But okay. Yeah. So I have done that once. Awful. Yes. Just terrible.
I mean,
I hated the experience.
It's not my favorite thing to do, but you know, I'm hanging out with the guys on the show. So, you know, we're just watching a game.
Right.
there's not a lot of pressure to it.
Right.
You know, the show, it's more like, all right, we're doing a segment here. Let's try to be entertaining and interesting. Where this is kind of just like, you know, there is some pressure to be like, you know, jazz hands. But for the most part, it's just a, you know, react to the game kind of like people want to like, just like they're watching the game at home. So let's just have this on and watch. The numbers were pretty solid. Like we had a few thousand like consistently the whole time.
That's pretty good. Mom was one of them.
I watched along for a little bit. And I noticed something, you know, because I've heard him do it plenty of times, but Whittingham, you know, he referred to you guys as lads. Has he ever referred to Jessica as lass?
No, I think they've had the discussion where it's kind of like, you know, how you can say guys and mean a group. It's kind of like...
So he just groups it in.
Yeah, but...
In the same manner.
Yeah. But no, that lass has come up before.
Gotcha.
Like, I think before he has thrown in like a lads and lass.
And everyone's like just call us lads. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to have a quick callback to last week's episode, the Greg Doesn't Know Movie segment. And it came up, who's the actor? Jason Segel?
Yeah.
Something like that. And I said, I'm trying to think back. There was a famous actor named Segel back in the 70s. And yet you said you're thinking of the novel,
Jonathan Livingston
Segel. And I said, yeah, that's it. But I've gotten a couple of texts and emails and social media shouts saying that the guy I was thinking of, and it's correct, is George Segal. S-E-G-A-L, George Segal. He died last month. How about that for a coincidence?
What at age people, 87. What kind of people are listening that like know that and are correcting you?
Probably people my age.
Do we have Greg Cody's listening? We do have some older listeners. I remember in Austin meeting an older guy who was saying he was a diehard Greg Cody Show listener, and he was real concerned about your health and stuff. And
well, he should be. So I'm not saying anything, but
speaking of that, I've had several comments lately as to the quality of your voice.
Yeah.
And how well you've been doing.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I did think to myself.
Never know.
I did think to myself the other day of that. Wow. Like it does seem like whether it's because you're just permanently on steroids or, you know, medicine now forever, but
yeah,
you seem to be fine now with your voice. You still cough when you laugh, but
yeah.
Yeah, it would have been, I mean, just even back at February or March, I remember listening back to one of those clips for something we were doing, and it was so awful. Now, that week was extra bad, but like it still hadn't improved to the point, and now, like, you're back to the old singing sports writer.
Dad, we had talks about, like, maybe Yeti and I just need to do, like, episodes until you're better. Like,
right.
Let's keep the pod going, but like you can't, like there was times with your voice, remember, where it was just like it's hard to do this right now like this. Like it's such a struggle for you.
You had off-air talks where like, guys, I don't even want to make fun of this anymore. Like it's
and I was like, we have to. Like if it's gonna be this bad. Like
and there was a long period of time where between the voice being shit and the coughing, it was terrible. And now it's at the point where if I have a 5 second in boring story, but earlier today I completely cleaned out my spice rack. I was throwing away a lot of expired spices.
And when I
do that, it gets in my lungs and I cough. Right. So I was coughing a lot in the kitchen today. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, I have not coughed in a long time.
Yeah.
Like coughing used to be what I did every day, constantly. And now I go days without coughing.
No, you still cough when you laugh. You don't go days with it, but still, it's better.
It's very rare. It's very rare.
I'd say you're still coughing once or twice a day, but that's such an improvement off of every 10 minutes.
Yeah, it is. To finish my George Segal story, because I knew the name when they said George Segal, but I'd forgotten what he'd been in. And his famous role was Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? And he was nominated for an Oscar as Best Supporting Actor. So he was a big name. And that's definitely who I was thinking of, George Segal.
Thanks for that callback.
Yeah, no, it's know what? That kind of thing interests me.
Look, that episode received really high praise from our audience.
Good. Hey,
this
audience,
whole week was a good week for you.
The audience has been coming strong.
Yeah, really good.
This was a good week for you between the last week's episode of The Greg Cody Show and your appearance on Lebatard. I've seen just like massive praise all about. Now, Chris, how likely is it that he goes on a terrible run where it's just is just awful now for the next several weeks.
Oh, we jinx his voice? Yeah, for sure. That could happen.
Yeah.
We need to ride this momentum. We've been getting really good downloads. I don't know if it's like the Kornheiser bit or, you know, just how awesome we are, but the people have been, you know, coming through for us. So I think what everyone needs to do right now is become a salesman for the Greg Cody this next week.
Yes, please.
You need to convince one other person in your life how this show, hey, if you gave it a chance before, you didn't like it, we're better now. Please. If every single person attempts to text three people in their phone, like, hey, I just want you to know this pod has been really good lately.
Right.
We will see a noticeable bounce even higher in our downloads this week. Let's see if next week we can say, oh my God, you guys did it.
Yes.
Like, you heard Please. Our voice and you did it. So go right now and text three friends how great we are. Tell them how bleeping awesome we are.
Speaking of salesmanship, though, I want to talk about a new item in the merch store coming out. Yeti, you're the director of the Greg Cody Show merch store. Can you tell people the sale we're having and the new item we're having?
Yeah. So we have got, starting Tuesday, hit me, Chris.
Tuesday.
So starting Tuesday, we have another free shipping promotion, Tuesday through Saturday.
Fripping.
So make sure you can get anything at shop.thegregcodyshow.com. That's shop.thegregcodyshow.com. Free shipping. But also, we are rolling out a new design. It's been a minute since we've had a new one. Greg is very passionate about this one. He's tried to get this one off the ground several times in the almost 2 years that I've been with the show. You want to explain it a little bit, Gregory?
Should we leave it a mystery or should we say what the slogan is on the shirt?
Go ahead and say what it is.
I literally don't know, so tell me.
Okay, it's okay. First of all, it's not a holiday shirt, but it's right in time for Valentine's Day. I almost said February 14th.
Butt stuff?
No, it's right in time for Valentine's Day. And the t-shirt says, okay, what does it say? No, I'm trying to get it exactly.
That's a wordy shirt.
No, here's what it says.
I'm trying to get it exactly.
No, it says, time for love to beat the crap out of hate.
Awesome.
So if you couldn't hear it in Chris's voice right there, he doesn't think this shirt's going to sell at all.
Oh, I do.
And so now's your chance. I mean, like, even I pushed back a little bit with Greg.
Prove me wrong.
Yeah, prove me wrong.
Greg has prove been, me this right. is at least the third time he has brought this shirt up in almost right. 2 years. Or since we started, in the year since we started the show.
What's the slogan again?
Time for love to kick the crap out of hate. Or is it beat the crap?
To beat the crap out All of right. hate.
You don't even right. know your own shirt. Great.
Yeah, okay. To beat the crap out of hate.
Beating it.
All right.
I like Nailed the irony it. Of promoting a love first shirt and then suggesting that people beat the crap out of hate. That works for me. I like it. No, I love it. And I hope people do. I hope others do.
Well,
okay.
See if you can prove me and Chris wrong. Buy the crap out of this shirt as a means of beating the crap out of hate.
That's
so yeah,
right.
You can get that. You can get it now. But at shop.thegregcodyshow.com, but the free shipping starts Tuesday, the 31st and goes on through the end of the day, Saturday.
Correct. So please buy that shirt in multitudes.
Dad, since we don't really have the result though of Cincinnati, Philly, what are you thinking in terms of just Philly though, against either of these teams? Like, are you thinking, let's just play the game of like, what will the spread be against either?
Well, assuming...
Because I think it's similar. I think these two AFC teams, really good offenses, hit or miss defenses. Yeah. So it's like, I think it's the same spread either way. I think Philly's a favorite right. by like three against either.
See, I disagree. I think the AFC team, whether it's Cincy or KC, is favored by... And it could be a pick 'em Super Bowl, which is really rare. I think the AFC team is favored by 1.5 points to open.
Really?
I do. Yeah, and that is in the case of the KC, that assumes you know, the Mahomes hasn't had a setback with his ankle.
Is it because of like just sexy offenses, like people like to bet offenses kind of thing? Like more money will be there, even though Philly's the more full team. They have been all year.
Right.
I mean, when they have Jalen Hurts, they're virtually unbeatable.
I will say the way they handled San Fran, I think impressive. Is going to Yeah, very impressive.
Chris Sims has said all year that that's the best roster, the San Francisco roster.
Yeah.
I mean, no, it was great. It's pretty bad when you're clamoring for more Brock Purdy in that right. in the second quarter.
Yeah.
We miss Brock Purdy.
Yeah, and don't let anybody say that had Brock Purdy not left the game, they might have been in it. No. No.
It was weird that
Philly was dominating.
It was weird that he was healthy enough to come in when Josh Johnson got hurt.
Right.
Like, you weren't healthy enough to just come back in. It's like, I'm healthy enough to be the backup, and then you're needed, so you're back right. in. It was a weird, like, if you're healthy enough to go, you'd think it'd be like, I'm good, coach. I'm back.
Yeah.
Not to criticize it. Like, you know, it's injuries. I don't want to be a dick, but, like, I don't know. It was just a weird, like, hey, coach, I'm good to just back up Josh Johnson. That's what I'm
right. good to do. No, it was really weird. It was desperation. I mean, if Josh Johnson is injured and they don't have Purdy to go to, who's the quarterback?
I think it's like Debo Samuel, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, emergency, right.
I was watching the game on silent, so there was a lot of times where we were asking questions where it's like, man, if we were listening to the broadcast, we'd know all these answers.
Exactly.
I think Philly's there. I think Philly's going to take it. Stanford Steve chose them as his preseason pick for winning the Super Bowl. The dude picks winners all the time. I trust Steve on that. But I think overall that Philly is a more complete team on both sides of the ball. And that's so they'll be my pick.
I'll be rooting for both AFC teams, though. I like Mahomes and Burrow.
Yeah, I'm more of a fan of either the Chiefs or the Bengals. But I think Philly's going to take it.
Yeah.
Well, people are rooting for the AFC teams. There was a note that I saw online. You know, they do research by geotagged Twitter things, like, and it showed that of the 50 U.S. states, 23 states were rooting for Cincy, 19 were rooting for KC, 42 of the 50 states were rooting for the AFC team, and then it was Philly with 6 states and San Fran with only 2, California and Oregon. So the rooting interest is definitely Cincy, which has never won a Super Bowl, or KC. There's no doubt about that.
Can you explain to us how geotagging things on Twitter works, Greg?
The only thing I can think of is that if I do a tweet and I hashtag, let's go Bengals, somebody quantifies that and puts me in as a Bengal fan. I don't know.
When's the last time you played tag?
Oh, I used to play tag a lot as a kid.
But like, honestly, tell me the last, like, how old was the last? How old were you? Because I played tag when I was 14 or 15. I remember we used to come back to, like, we would obviously play manhunt outside at times, but there was also, like, me, Alex, Michael, Jonathan from down the street. Sometimes when, like, you guys were out to dinner, we would, like, turn out at all the lights in our entire house and have, like, the house is dark tag, which is terrifying. Because, like,
oh, my God.
Yeah.
Why would you do that in my house?
Just because it was, like, it was.
I tried to play that with the missus, but, you know.
Yeah. I know that sound. As I was saying that, I was like, I hope people don't think that we were having like an orgy at our house. It was really just good old fashioned clean tag.
Yeah. I don't think I played tag into my mid teens. I think tag.
Did you never play with Chris and Michael?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess. So there you mention it. Yeah.
You and Paul Radke never like switched it up, you know, a little game of Stratomatic tag, a little back and forth.
No, we tagged home plate. We tagged bases.
Whoa, I thought that was going somewhere else.
Baby!
You made it to home with Paul Radke?
That's right. Exactly. I want to say something about the big event in the Cody household next week. I don't know how much of this is going to get into the show, how much content we're going to do, whatever, but the annual PFPI Gala is this coming Sunday, February 5th. And it's the biggest event of the year in the Cody household.
How much you think we could sell 2 tickets to that for? If we put 2 tickets on auction for eBay and let our listeners bid.
Let's do that. And let's also sell naming rights. You know, the Sears and Roebuck PFPI Gala. How about that? You want to do that? Let's organize that. Who's in charge?
You.
Oh, yeah.
Does the PFPI Pick'em League, does that go through the Super Bowl? Or is that over? No, it wouldn't because the gala's next week.
You only go for the playoffs when there's a tie at the end of the regular season.
Okay. Yeah, in the history of PFPI, I think we've had 2 ties where you pick the 13 playoff games. But otherwise, it's a regular season thing only. And my wife, you know, Mom's Maniacs, was a runaway winner this year. So she will be honored. She will pick the champion's dinner. And it'll be just a gala affair. I can't
wait. My mom is the queen of picking the favorite. I mean, it won this year. I'm putting my hands up. But, like, nobody picks less unique hit attempts. No one has less unique hit attempts than Mom.
She just takes chalk the whole way.
Yeah.
When was the last time you allowed someone new into the PFPI? And did they stay?
Christy.
Christy's the newest addition.
Was the last new member.
Is it marriage only?
I mean, Tati... I mean, Michael's girlfriend, they've been together a while, and I believe she's a Greg Cody Show listener, so she might be listening to this right now, Dad. Yeah. So,
Tati, we love you, but, you know, put a ring on it, and then maybe we'll talk about it.
I think Tati should be allowed in.
You 2 years ago, you said, I think Graceland should be in, when she was five.
Well, I think Graceland should be in, too. Graceland is old, and I honestly think, she's reading now. She can, like, I honestly think next season we should let Graceland in.
Yes. I have no say in this, but I'm going to say yes.
It'd be hilarious if a six-year-old was in second place with 3 weeks left.
Yes.
Like, what is the downside, okay. Dad? You know, I don't want to be like the guy who's bringing up sad shit, but, like, you know, life's, you're not, you know, like
guaranteed tomorrow, Greg.
Who knows how much any of it, like, you know, like, I would get her in. Like, why are we waiting?
To not have a six-year-old in the league?
Dad, Nana was in it.
That's true. And she didn't follow football at all and picked winners based on which city she would rather live in. That's true. Right. That is correct.
Now, real quick, you guys never really revealed the winner of PFPI Fantasy and how that went. Greg's Lobos, Hard Knocks kind of slacked off once Moss Miami came around.
The Lobos were defending champion, reached the championship game again, but were edged out by Chris's Critters.
Ooh.
Christopher won PFPI title. His third career title, tying Dick's Rough Riders for the most ever.
Is it back-to-back?
In the 14-year history.
Oh, no, you won last year.
No, the Lobos won last year. Greg's Lobos won last year.
Damn right we did.
So me and Uncle Dick have won three each?
Yeah, and congrats for that, by the way. And at the PFPI Gala this year, we're going to have an extra special homage to PFPI Fantasy. We're going to start to do more. The two sides are coming together. And yeah, I'm the commissioner of both leagues. So I carry a lot of weight, literally and figuratively. And we're going to do a little more this year.
All right. I think you should sing us into a commercial break because people are really bored with the last minute of this podcast.
Got a call from an old friend. We used to be real close. Said he couldn't go on the American way. Great show, Billy.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Greg, you got back from Miami this morning.
That's right.
And, you know, for working on a mysterious project, are you going to share with your audience what you got going on?
Yeah, I am. I think this has come up in dribs and drabs on our own show. I think on Levitard, it's been hinted at, barely talked about. Ron McGill and I are collaborating on a book, and I'm very excited about it. It's coming out probably late spring or early summer, like another 3-4 months from now. It's going to come together pretty quickly. And I drove down to Zoo Miami today. Met Ron in his famous office, which is not really an office. It's like a den of curios and artifacts.
His foffice, yeah.
Yes, it's an amazing place to be. Much, much smaller than it looks on a Zoom. Much, much smaller. But
much smaller.
That was impressive. So anyway, yeah, very small.
Yet impressive.
Very impressive. It's crazy.
The Greg Cody story.
That's right. Smaller yet impressive. That's exactly right. But McGill is just as cordial as can be. And he was kind enough to ask me to collaborate on the book. I'm thrilled to do it. And you'll be hearing more about it in the coming months. But I just wanted to tease that it's in the works. I don't even want to say the name of it yet because they could change it. But it's Ron McGill and Greg Cody.
Are you getting a byline type thing? Is this like, are you a ghostwriter for McGill? What's going on here?
No, I think it's I'm going to write the book, but it's the McGill story. I mean, it would not be a book if it were not for Ron McGill. I'm just doing the actual words on paper type thing. But
so a Ron McGill and Greg Cody type situation?
Yeah, it's going to be Ron McGill and Greg Cody, as far as I know. Maybe they'll do it alphabetically, and it'll be Greg Cody and Ron McGill, but I doubt it very much. So, No, we're happy to do it. And you'll be hearing more about that in the coming months. I'm sure at some point we're going to have Ron on to really talk about it, but we're both super excited about this project, honestly.
Expectations here? Let's turn this into a, you know, we need the quote here. Are you hoping to be a New York Times bestseller?
You never know. I mean, Ron was telling me today the initial reaction from like Barnes & Noble and Amazon and major carriers of books has been really positive. Like they're jumping at the idea. And Ron, you know, he has a national stature now. You know, he's considered nationally a wildlife expert. Zoo Miami is the fifth largest zoo in the country. And he's got a huge reputation as a wildlife guy, and not to mention a world-class photographer. So there's a lot going on, and I'm thrilled to be a part of it.
I got a pedicure today.
What?
Yeah.
You went through with it?
Yeah, I did.
When that came up on the Levitard show, I thought you were joking. It's like me saying that I wiped my hand with my ass.
Right.
It's performance art. It didn't really happen.
Well, that would be weird if you wiped your hand with your ass, but...
but in your case, honestly, I thought you mentioned a pedicure for a laugh and we're never going to do it. You actually got one today?
Right. You never know when we're saying stuff if it's real or not. But this one was like, yeah, right. I genuinely, you know... And I want to thank you because, Dad, You're my inspiration.
Okay, because of my ugly toenails?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, as I've said before on this podcast, I have your feet. So, like, when I look down, I see your feet, like, 30 years ago. So,
yeah.
I'm just like, you know, I was having a nice therapy session with the pedicure lady, whatever they're called.
Yeah, pedicurists, I think. you better get a lot of pedicures because in my father's pop, you called him, my father's feet were the original seashell toenails. I mean, he had some thick shells on the end of his toes.
Yeah.
And because I cut them in his later years.
But it was delightful. Like there was some slight discomfort when she's like really getting in there to the nails, trying to clean them. But, you know, it was the first time. So, and she told me that my feet, she was like surprised it was my first time, which I took as a compliment.
Really?
She was like I was like on the scale of people, like I was like, you've seen worse. And she was like, oh, yeah. So I felt that made me feel better. But
I feel like they say that to every new client.
They maybe do. Maybe.
Okay.
But it didn't take that long. I was thinking she was going to have to like put in some real elbow grease, but
right.
You know.
And what are the tools of her trade?
Oh, I mean, it's just like they clip them and then like they're soaking them the whole time, like in hot water. And then they pour a bunch of like, you know, bath salts and powders. And so it's like all of a sudden it's bubbling, like, you know, to exfoliate and all this stuff.
But don't they do the whole foot?
Yeah, they do the up your leg, and then you get this like cream on your leg, and they're giving you like an ankle, like it's like an ankle foot massage.
Right.
And then like all of a sudden my toes have these like separators in them, and I'm like, I don't even know I didn't know that was coming. I didn't like, is she paint? Am I about to get my toenails painted? Like I didn't know what the hell's, and I'm not going to stop her. But I was just like, unless she pulled out like a red, like a random color, but it was just like this like clear coat to make it look shiny. I don't know. It didn't.
Yeah. Those little foam separators. That's one more thing that Jumpin' Charlie eats if he sees them discarded on the ground.
Because mom brings them home, I guess.
Yeah, that's a tiny little snack. Because that's what happens to her as well. I think male and female pedicures are exactly the same, right? Like, they don't do anything different Other than paint the toenails, I guess.
Right, I guess
they wouldn't do anything different for a woman than a man, right?
I would just they would get their toenails painted, probably.
Would you call it a pleasurable experience?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's like a foot massage,
and may I ask, what does that cost?
Well, there was different options. Since it was my first time, I kind of went for the Cadillac. It was like $33, $43, $60, $68
were
the four options. And you tip a few bucks. So it's you can get out of there for $40. You can get out of there for $50. You can get out of there for $75.
Okay. So tax, tag, and title, it's costing, $5-6 a toe.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And did you ask to save the clippings or no?
No.
With the idea of deep frying them? That didn't come up at all?
I saw that doctor that we talked to just sobbing as my toenails flew onto the ground.
Right. Did you mention to the pedicurist that, hey, incidentally, my dad saves his clippings and deep fries them and eats them as snacks? Did that come up at all or no?
I left that part out.
Okay. What do you think her reaction would have been? To laugh as if you were kidding?
I don't know.
It's kind of like when I asked Clark Spencer if a jockey running would beat a horse. It's just it leaves you nowhere to go.
That was hilarious, actually.
It just doesn't. You had something else. You told me a couple of days ago that you have a big announcement to make, and I have no idea what that is.
We'll make that in a little bit. Let's do your whatever, three facts
Jack.
Three facts Steve or something, whatever.
I don't know. Three facts Jack with an exclamation point, and hopefully Yeti by now has imaging for it, because it's a standalone feature of the podcast that deserves love. The love of imaging. So here we go.
Shout out to that. Shout out to the happy hour we did with our fans, where Mayor Matt brought his own three facts, Jack.
Yeah, yeah. We had a, what was it, 8-10 listeners
nine. We were the Brady Bunch
in a Zoom. In a Zoom happy hour.
Oh, but Goat Piss was with Craig, so it was 10 people.
Okay, Goat Piss. All right. God, you guys know everybody. How can you know everybody in a Zoom? Goat Piss. There, Matt.
I'm just telling you that, Goat Piss and Craig and Mayor Matt, and they're legends. They're Lebatard Show fan legends. What do you want from me?
Okay. How does a guy get a nickname like Goat Piss? What's the etymology on that?
I don't think we gave him that. I think that he was brought.
That's the guy
to
with
us.
The voice, right?
Yeah, and that's the guy with the voice. Yes, that is the guy with the very distinct voice. But there's a lot of good fans, and yes, I don't know all of them, but I do know some.
Right, there's a lot of good fans out there. There's no question about it. All right, let's get the three facts, Jack.
There are three things that interest him, so sit right back for three facts, Jack.
This is a fairly new feature where I learn three new things every week that I didn't know that interested me.
It's self-explanatory. Just read the thing. Read the facts.
Okay. Is it really? It could be random facts that I've known my whole life, but it's not. It's three new facts. It should be called three new facts, Jack. Anyway, number three. The official rule book of chess states, controversially, that a player playing against a woman may complain that she is showing too much cleavage, and that the female player may be disqualified if the judges rule in the complainer's favor.
Really?
Yeah, which is totally sexist. I can't believe it's actually in the rule book, but it is.
Wow.
Number two, in Hawaii, there once was an ancient sport called hea helua, or lava sledding. It was practiced on the island long before the arrival of Europeans in 1778. Competitors launched themselves down groomed slides along the side of a volcano while riding sleds measuring 12 feet long but only 6 inches wide. Racers could either stand, lie face down, or kneel, reaching speeds of up to 50 miles an hour.
Wow.
Faster than Calmly, the new racehorse Clark Spencer bought from the King of England. And number one.
How's your horse? Have you become a horse owner yet, a horner?
I have not yet. I have looked into getting a racehorse named Random Evidence, and I'm going to keep you posted on that.
And by that, what have you done by that?
I've texted Clark Spencer and asked him how I go about doing that.
Dad, why don't you ask him about the details of, if you were curious of joining, what it would look like?
I should do that. Yeah, I'll see how much the buy-in is.
Just inquire.
Yeah, I suspect the buy-in is about $10,000, but I could be way off. Okay, number one, ancient Egyptians revered and worshipped cats, bedazzling them in gold accessories. I think I knew that, Okay, I knew that much. I knew that there was something about ancient Egyptians and cats, but I did not know this. In ancient Egypt, when a beloved cat died, the cat's owners and family members would publicly express their grief by shaving off their eyebrows, and the mourning period lasted until a new set of eyebrows fully grew in, which was usually 3 or 4 months. How about that? My cat dies, and I shave my eyebrows. That's crazy. I'm going to bring that back, Jack.
It's the least you could do.
Yeah. Yeah. What do we have eyebrows for anyway? I feel like if you know,
I think shaving your eyebrows is in. Like I've seen like at Fashion Week and stuff. Like,
have you?
Men and women shaving eyebrows. Yeah,
like you've seen people with no eyebrows.
Yeah, it's. I don't know. You know, I'm not cool enough to say whether it's in or out, but I think it's having a moment.
Picture me right now. You're looking at me. Picture me with no eyebrows. What do you think?
I mean, you have really bushy eyebrows. So
yeah, my eyebrows are bushy and dark. Whereas your eyebrows, and I don't mean this as a criticism, your eyebrows barely show up.
Yeah.
Whereas mine are very noticeable.
Yeah.
Shave your eyebrows right now. It'll take like 2 minutes.
No.
Why not?
Remember when you had a filter on where you had real thick eyebrows and you were convinced those were your eyebrows?
Yes. I do remember that. Why won't you shave your eyebrows for the sake of the show?
Because I don't want to.
They grow back in 3 or 4 months.
So that was 3 facts, Jack?
Yeah. That was 3 facts, Jack.
All right.
You want me to chase that with a dad joke, or you want to give your big reveal now?
I'll give my big reveal.
Okay. I can't wait.
This is serious. This is something I want to do. Wow. I want to do stand-up comedy. I've begun cultivating bits.
Wow.
And I want to attempt it.
Really?
I think I kind of want it to be. I could see it being a potential next, you know, as we go through life and we do things and, you know, eventually years from now, things could end. So I would like to, you know, start thinking of what I could possibly be doing. And I want to just see if this is something because I feel like I could do it.
Wow.
I'm terrified as shit as the, right. Like right now, as I've never done it. The idea of getting on stage, like even though I talk every day, like there's a safety net of being around those guys and in that small room, like the idea of talking publicly, like growing up, always terrible at it. Still to this day, like when I had to speak, remember for when I was coaching high school baseball and I had to like speak at banquets, like it just, I hate the feeling beforehand of just stress. And so it's definitely out of my comfort zone. And I'm not going to like tell anyone when I'm doing it. Cause like I've been talking to Brad Williams a little about it cause he's become a friend and he's a stand-up comic. And he's just like, you have to like be decent before you like start publicizing that you're doing it. Like you need to go be terrible in front of people that don't know you like 20 or 25 times before you even think about tweeting out, hey, I'm gonna, he's like, cause you already kind of have a following. So like you can't have the people that like you show up and be like, oh, he stinks.
Right.
Like, so,
and so Brad Williams could be, and I confess I'm not familiar with Brad Williams, the stand-up comic. But he could be your mentor. Is that what you're saying, right?
Well, yeah, he's already begun. He was the one encouraging me to go up on stage and do 5 minutes the last time he was in town.
Really?
And it's always kind of been something that I thought I could do. I think I have good comedic timing. And, you know, just in this, I've already started to write bits and stuff. And my friend Alex and I are like into that stuff. So we're bouncing stuff off each other. And it's really fun just talking things out. And so I already have like 3 or 4 bits that if I like got thrown on a stage right now that I could, you know, do terribly. But it's just something that I'm interested in. Like, you're not going to hear anything of it now. Now I'm going to disappear for 2 years.
Okay.
Maybe in like 2 years, I'm going to be like, hey, I'm going to do an open mic in Hollywood. Right. Come see me.
And how would you describe your persona, your stage persona? Like, what type of comic do you expect to be?
I have no idea. I've never done it.
Like, you know, observational comedy, like a Seinfeld or...
I think it's going to be like my life type things, like, you know, like observational, kind of like my topics on the show. Like, I'm working on a bit right now. Let's see, I feel like I don't even want to give too much away. Like, I have a bit about the shower and loofahs and...
Okay. It's interesting because our show is, I think, humor oriented. I consider myself a humorous person. Michael, your younger brother, did improv for a while.
Yeah.
For several months. I went to see him do live improv on stage a couple of times. Yeah.
As did I. Why are you saying I like I wasn't there?
Yeah, because, you know, I try to make myself seem better than I am all the time. But the thing that would scare me about, and I encourage you totally, I encourage this. I think it's a great thing that you're daring to do. And I do call it daring because, you know, when you're speaking into a microphone in a studio surrounded by five or six people, even though part of you knows you're speaking to thousands and thousands of people who are going to be listening to you, you can pretend that you're not. You can pretend like the only people you're speaking to are the other people in the shipping container or me right now, right?
Right.
But the key, you know, like I would be terrified to stay, even though I've spoken in front of large crowds.
Isn't it why you didn't? And I agree with you. It's terrifying, and it's just I'd rather not deal with that stress. Isn't that kind of why you didn't do Dan's roast?
Yes, yes. He gave me a chance to be one of three people up there. McGill was one. Billy Corbin was another. I had a chance to be the third, and I just didn't want to do it. I didn't. Right. You know, I would have had to do a routine, and you know, I'd rather make fun of Dan in private, you know, than in public. So,
but yeah, so that's my announcement. I'm just, you know, I don't even know where I'm going to begin to like do open mics around these parts, but
right,
you know,
wow, that's exciting.
And that I'm not even close to doing that yet. Like I need to, you know, I don't know what I need to do, but that's it. That's I've just decided that's something I want to try. And if you never hear of it again, that means I tried it and I was terrible. So
right. Have you ever considered improv as a stepping stone to stand up comedy?
Well, I already do improv every day. I know I'm good at improv. Not to be
okay. So you,
not to right. be, you know, but yes.
Okay. Well, I congratulate you on your bold venture. If it ever comes off, even if it doesn't, it's still a bold venture. Just one that took a crap.
Right.
You know, so that's good.
Anyways, we gotta hurry up here.
Let me do a dad joke real quick.
Okay.
And I always have one on the holster, as you know. What do you call a dancing sheep?
A ballerina.
That's correct. That is correct. I'm never sure whether to be thrilled or embarrassed when you get a dad joke right. So I have one more.
Okay.
Okay, this is a funny one. This is even better. What's the most popular dish at a church brunch?
I don't know.
The most popular dish at a church brunch is eggs benediction. See, that's funny.
That's okay.
Our religious listeners know that a benediction.
I know what a benediction is.
Okay, what is it then?
It's just not that funny.
Churchgoer.
Yeah.
What's a benediction?
I know that. Tell the people that don't. I obviously know what it is.
Okay, then I'll get you on the spot now. What does benediction mean in the context of religion?
Dad, I don't want to make the people who
don't know.
I don't want to make the people who don't know feel bad about knowing.
A benediction is the blessing at the end of a religious service.
Okay.
Okay, so eggs benediction is pretty funny. There you go. Ballerina sucked, but eggs benediction was funny.
Ballerina's funny, actually.
Okay. Ballerina. Okay. Ballerina, the San Francisco treat. All right, listen. Great football this weekend. I may or may not be saying this before the games were played, but great football this weekend. Talked a lot about that. Talked about your new professional venture, my book in the making, a lot of other stuff. Had a fun, action-packed episode, and we thank you all.
I think you should go over everything we said in this episode right now. That's what I think you should do.
You know what? No, I'd rather we didn't. We got to close it out.
All right. See you later, everyone.
See you.
Bye.
See ya.
Okay. I'm continuing that thing of On the Levitard Show where I talk over people.
Yeah, you do.
What?
I can do a Loretta Lynn if you want it.
No. Let's
it'll be it. Over my dead body. So get out while you can. Cause you ain't woman enough to take my man. How about that? Loretta Lynn. She's so great. I mourn her. Anyway, where were we?